Thank you. It's very easy in church life just to move swiftly on, and it is so important for stories to kind of stay with us. But we are going to move on because Paul reminded us that we might be thinking about whether we put our lunch on before we came out. I'm always very aware that for those of us that might have put lunch on before we came out, we don't want to get to the point that we're worried about, have we got time to turn lunch off and get home before it's burned to a cinder. So today we are continuing with our teaching series in looking at the names of God. And this morning we're going to look at Genesis 16, as you can see on that slide. But just before we turn to God's word, I want to remind you of a TV series that many of us, or at least some of us, will remember back in the 60s. Do you remember The Invisible Man? Yeah? It was a story of a man called Dr. Peter Brady who becomes permanently invisible when an experiment goes wrong. And he's recruited by British intelligence, and he uses his invisibility to go on mission and to thwart spies and solve crimes and all sorts of things like that. And in more recent years, for those of us that maybe don't remember that 60s programme, we will have been we will have enjoyed the Harry Potter books and the films. And we know of Harry's invisibility cloak. And when he puts his invisibility cloak on and he can't be seen, this helps him also on countless missions and trips, and he solves all sorts of issues that are going on. And it strikes me that having the superpower of invisibility could be really rather useful and great fun. I think it's one of the powers I would love to have. Being invisible would be so amusing so much of the time, but feeling invisible is absolutely horrible. Have you ever been in a crowded room and it just feels like nobody's ever noticed that you're there? Or maybe you're in a group conversation and everyone's chattering 19 to the dozen and you just can't find a way to join in that conversation. We can feel invisible in the workplace. You know, we work as hard as the next person, but their contribution is applauded and not yours. It can be that they get the thanks and command the attention, but your contribution isn't acknowledged at all. And so whether it's being overlooked when there are opportunities on offer, or forgotten when it comes to an invitation, whether it's unheard when it comes to communication, unrecognized when it comes to appreciation, or abandoned when it comes to seasons when you're in need, feeling invisible is not very good at all. And as we continue in our teaching series today, we're going to look at an incident that happened in Abraham and Sarai's household concerning Sarai's servant Hagar. And so we're going to read from Genesis 16. So I encourage you to turn to that story. If you're looking at one of the Bibles on the seat in front of you, you'll find Genesis 16 on page 16. But you might be using a phone or a tablet or your own Bible. And I'm actually going to read the story from the beginning of the chapter, even though verse 13 is the verse that we're going to focus on today. So Genesis 16, reading from the beginning of the chapter. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abraham, "You're responsible for the wrong I'm suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she's pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." "Your slave is in your hands," Abraham said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. The angel of the Lord found Hagar sitting near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road Shur. And he said, "Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" "I'm running away from my mistress Sarai," she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, "Go back to your mistress and submit to her." The angel added, "I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "You're now pregnant and you will give birth to a son. You will name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery." And now we come to the verse that we're going to focus on this morning. She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees me," for she said, "I have now seen the one who sees me." Hagar says to God, "You are El Roy," which in the original Hebrew can be translated as both shepherd and seeing or looking or gazing. God sees her when she is invisible to everyone else. And you know, God sees us when we're invisible to the world around us as well. And this is such a comfort to us when we feel invisible. But it also informs us as to what a Christian community should look like if we're going to look like Jesus. And I hope that this morning we're going to see how the very heart of the gospel beats through this story. This is one of the very many messy situations in Abraham and Sarai's life. Bad decisions on their part lead to troublesome interpersonal relationships. Hagar becomes invisible to Abram when he just washes his hands of her. Sarai's slave, and therefore Sarai's responsibility. And Hagar's not a completely innocent party either. As soon as she knows she's pregnant, we're told Hagar despises Sarai. Sarai's perhaps feeling invisible in her marriage because Hagar's carrying her husband's child. And she decides that she's not going to take this lying down. So she drives Hagar away. Hagar is now invisible to Sarai because she's no longer around. It's an ungodly situation, drawing out the very worst in all three characters. Pride and jealousy and anger and hurt and pain and power and abdication of responsibility. What a mess. And God sees it all. Hagar is invisible to the ones who should have watched out for her, but she's not invisible to God. And I wonder how many of us here in the building or watching online are facing messy situations in our lives. Like in the story we've looked at today, we might be partly responsible for the mess that we find ourselves in. Even if we are, it doesn't change the fact that it's painful nevertheless. We might well have made some poor decisions. We might well have behaved sinfully. And we may well have let the worst of who we are get the better of us. And if that's you, guilt and shame and regret might well cause us to feel that we deserve to be invisible to God. And maybe Hagar felt that way too. But what God saw in Hagar was a vulnerable and a runaway and a pregnant slave girl who was in need. And so even if we are in part responsible for some of the mess we find ourselves in, God sees us with the vulnerabilities that we have. And just as he didn't abandon Hagar, he won't abandon us. Just as God was with Hagar and he cared about her personally, he will do the same for you and for me. And the evidence for this isn't only found in this ancient story, but it's found in the life of Jesus, God's Son. Jesus had every opportunity to live as a king. He could have experienced a comfortable life and only mixed with the religious leaders of his day or upstanding people. You know, those that were respected and powerful and maybe the wealthy as well. But instead, Jesus dedicated his time to the people that society said were the lowest of the low. Jesus saw them. He saw the woman made invisible through ill health, and he saw the woman who was invisible because of her sinful behavior. He saw lepers who were invisible because they were called unclean. He saw the mentally unwell who were hidden away in colonies with others who were described as demon-possessed, invisible, out of sight, out of mind. Jesus saw them all, and he sees us too. If we think we've strayed too far from the love of God, we must look at Jesus' life, because he saw those that society made invisible, and he spent time with them. He shared meals with them. He healed them. He loved them, and he restored them back into their communities. Because at the heart of every human being, there is a need to be seen and to be known and to be heard. And Jesus meets these needs when he notices us, when we're feeling invisible. This is such a comforting thought. But you know, it is one of the greatest challenges to us as the way in the way in which we live out our faith. Step into the early church in Jerusalem, and they had a problem. The Hebraic Jewish widows were being cared for by the church, but the Greek Jewish widows weren't. The church adapted their whole leadership structure to avoid any widow being invisible and falling outside of the church's pastoral care. Noticing the invisible can be costly, it can be inconvenient, and it can even be very uncomfortable when it demands change. But I think we've got to hear this today. To render someone invisible goes against the very heart of who God is. To make anybody feel invisible goes against the very heart and example of Jesus. To pretend that somebody isn't important goes against the very leading of the Holy Spirit. And haven't we all been guilty of this? Even if we haven't behaved in ways like Abraham and Sarai, haven't we all been guilty of rendering people invisible? Sometimes, some of the time. We look over and we watch out for our friends, but we don't reach out to the person that we just find it harder to talk to. We text those who help us feel loved, but we don't pass on a text to somebody else who might actually need our love and our attention or our support or our encouragement. We know that there are caregiving ministries in the church and we could get involved, but we choose to leave it to somebody else. We all render people invisible some of the time. And as I've sat with this story this week, not only have I noticed how God cares for Hagar the invisible, I've seen in this story the way that God gives Abraham and Sarai the opportunity to make things right. You see, one happy fairy tale type of ending to this story could be that Hagar finds a new home to go and live in, where she's treated really beautifully, and Abraham and Sarai are free to grow old without the challenge of a lippy maid. But that's not the way God does things here. Hagar is told to return and change the way she does things. She's told to behave better towards Sarai, to be kinder, to be more respectful, to be the very best she can be. You see, she's seen by God, but God's response isn't a slushy, there, that's okay. He says, go back. And be better. And how scary is that? Return and be different. And I remember an incident in my life where I was so ashamed by my behaviour. And so my decision was to move away, reinvent myself. But God saw me differently and he said, no, you must stay. You see, I saw myself as a coward. I've got to run away and do it differently somewhere else. And he said, no, you've got a teachable heart. God sees us for who we are, and he draws out the very best in us if we will do as he commands. I had to go back to the place where I had sinned and learn to do life differently. But you see, like Hagar, when God called me back into a difficult situation, I was strengthened. I had new courage because I knew God, Elroy, the one who sees, was with me. And Abraham and Sarah in this story get the opportunity to redress their part in all of this mess as well. They can't ignore their behaviours either. Hagar, at least for the time being, is going to be part of their household, a thorn in their flesh, an ongoing reminder that whether they like it or not, God sees. None of us are invisible to him. So today, you might be feeling a little bit like Hagar, invisible and undeserving of God's notice. Can I encourage you to take heart because God sees you? You are perfectly known and loved by Elroy today. I wonder, how might God want to transform your heart and your mind, the way you see yourself? You don't have to be a victim. You don't need to draw attention to yourself through ungodly or unhelpful ways. You don't need your needs to be noticed because God's got a future and a purpose and a plan for you. You can step into this courageously because God sees. But maybe today the Holy Spirit has shown you that there are traces of Abraham in you. Abraham who made Hagar invisible when he sidestepped his responsibility. Maybe you feel uncomfortable because God's noticed. Take heart. God sees you. You are perfectly known and loved by him. We're going to fast forward to Genesis chapter 21. Sarai, I'm not going to read it, I'm just going to summarize the story. Sarai's given birth to Isaac. While they're celebrating, Sarah sees Hagar's son Ishmael mocking. And Sarah, as she is then, says to Abraham, "Get rid of that slave woman and her son, for that woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac." Abraham was really upset because it concerned his son. God reassures him that all will be well. So as Hagar leaves for the second time, we read, "Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy." Abraham has changed. He's learned to take responsibility for his family. His courage stems from the knowledge that God sees and God has the situation in hand. And I wonder today, maybe God is calling you to step up into a new responsibility for those in your family, for those in your small group, for those in your church community, for those in your workplaces. Maybe you know that you can be a bit like Sarai. When people make life awkward, you drive them away until they become invisible to you. Take heart. God sees you. You're perfectly loved and you're perfectly known. But in this story of Abraham and Sarai, it seems to me that maybe Sarai didn't change as quickly as she might have. Twice she sought to resolve her issues with Hagar by sending her away. Can I encourage you today, if you see Sarah or Sarai characteristics in yourself, that you hand over to God those things that get in the way from letting Jesus change your heart and your mind. You see, to render someone invisible goes against the very heart of who God is. So we're going to respond to this story this morning, and we're going to let the Holy Spirit work within us. And I'm going to ask us all to stand. And maybe turn up our hands so our palms are facing upwards, just as a posture of submission to God. And if you are at home and watching this online, you might also be led to do the same. Let's pray. Lord, none of us are invisible to you. All of us are perfectly loved, and each of us are fully known by El Roy, the God who sees. The psalmist writes, "Lord, you know everything there is to know about me. You perceive every movement of my heart and soul. You are so intimately aware of me, Lord. You read my heart like an open book. You've gone into my future to prepare the way, and in kindness you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. God, would you write these words of scripture onto our hearts today? Might we know these to be true in our heads, in our minds, in our thinking. You've laid your hand on us. And the psalmist continues to say, your understanding of me brings wonder and strength. God, create in us a response to you knowing everything about us that is wonder and strength. In this moment, God, we invite your searching gaze. Examine us through and through. Find out everything that prevents us being able to live in the truth of your word and in obedience to your commands. Lord, see if there's any path of pain we're walking on, and lead us back into your glorious and everlasting ways. Lead us back to the paths that bring us to you. God, you are the one who sees me. When I feel pushed to the sidelines or forgotten by friends or family or co-workers, help me to know that you are working behind the scenes. You are the God who sees me. Forgive me when I have not seen and included others the way that I should have and the way that I want to be included by those around me. Forgive us, Lord. And today we thank you that you are always a God of second chances. Always a God who seeks to restore us, to redeem us, to pick us up, dust us down, plant your truth in us, and then show us the way. God, we thank you. That is your nature. Thank you, Lord of our lives. Amen.